One of my plans next year is to walk the route of Hadrian's Wall, also known as the Picts' Wall, begun in AD 122 in the reign of the Emperor Hadrian. It was at that point marking the northern limit of the Roman Empire, immediately north of which were the fearsome Picts, the ancient Britons. So tonight we have a small version of Hadrian's Wall. And beyond Hadrian's Wall are the Picts, the choir, those ancient people that we need to be slightly wary of. A wall built to separate two peoples. Donald Trump is planning a much longer wall in his mind along the border with Mexico. And perhaps in the back of his mind, as he thinks about that wall, there's the example of a wall built in 2003. It's 485 miles long, and it is at least 8 meters tall. So imagine getting as far up to the bottom of the ceiling here. Where is it? It's in Israel, between Israel and the West Bank. So it is a sobering thought that 2,000 years after the original journey they made, Mary and Joseph, if they were to make that journey today, would have to go through at least 6 security checkpoints to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and then negotiate that 8-meter wall. It is indeed a wall that sums up one of the world's most insurmountable divisions. And yet, at Christmas time, we put a huge amount of effort into bringing people together. We make special efforts at this time of year to try to reconcile ourselves with others, to draw families together. Because division, as I'm sure we all know, has a special poignancy and difficulty at Christmas time. Maybe it's something to do with the subconscious message that we've all still got inside us, that there was this baby born in a stable, promised hundreds of years before, known as the Prince of Peace. Well, this week, tucked away in a beautiful castle in Sweden, it's really encouraging to hear that the Yemeni government and the Houthi rebels have agreed on a ceasefire, at least for the port of Hodeida, which is the most important place of entry for imported food and aid for that blighted people. Behind the scenes is a little-known British diplomat called Martin Griffiths, the UN envoy to Yemen. He's been working tirelessly to rescue these people from the place where their hostility and enmity has taken them, to being peace out of war. It's a fragile peace, and we need to pray it would grow and deepen. This small encouragement is, however, as we all know, set against the deep walls of division that still exist across our world today. Walls between peoples and nations, but walls too, if we're honest, that are even closer still. Many of us gathered here tonight will be experiencing division in our own families. There'll be people that we haven't spoken to years, or with our neighbours, or even in our workplaces. These are walls that are preventing our relationships and our lives from flourishing. Well, we gather tonight to remember the birth of God's Son. He left heaven to come to this world. He was born in an animal shelter because a Roman emperor, whose armies were occupying Israel, decided to call for a census. His parents would have shared the road to Bethlehem with occupying soldiers. He was born into a reality in that land not so different from today. But I'm not going to retell the story of Christmas now. We've already heard it. And most of us have heard it or even appeared in it ourselves through nativity plays many, many times and well enough to know the outline. Mary, Gabriel, pregnancy, Jesus, a manger, shepherds, angels, wise men, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's the story. But what's its significance? Ironically, I think it's something that becomes easier to miss the more familiar the story sounds to us. So what does it mean to you and to me? This wall right here, to me, is why Christmas matters. At the very first Christmas, Jesus was born to join us on this earth, not because everything's great and he wanted us to join in the party. He came because things are not as they should be. This is a world of walls and hostility and division. So the angel visits Mary to tell her the astonishing news that she's going to give birth. The gospel writer Matthew says you are to give him the name Jesus. Well, this is ever so significant. Names always have a meaning behind them, and I'm sure most of us who are parents checked out carefully the meaning of our child's name before we chose it. I have my mum to thank for Anthony, which means highly praiseworthy. I want to brush my ego up at all. Thanks, Mum. Jesus means rescuer or deliverer. What sort of rescue or deliverance has Jesus come to effect? What has he come to rescue his people from? Matthew continues, he will save his people, he will rescue them from their sins. And what is sin? Well, for me, the best definition of it at all is simply selfishness, self-centeredness, the attitude that puts my needs and desires before those of anyone else, that leads me to think that I'm better than other people, that blinds me to the ultimate reality that all of us here today are made in the beautiful image of our loving Heavenly Father. Tell me if I'm being simplistic, if you like, but selfishness, self-centeredness is, I believe, at the root of all hostility, all division, and all walls today. But you say, how on earth could Jesus' birth 2,000 years ago make a difference to this sort of problem? This problem that we still have today? Well, somebody has said at the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. We might well go out, look out around us and get despondent about our world, perhaps even a little critical of what others are getting up to. But if we're really honest, we all have to take just a little bit of responsibility ourselves for making walls. The Russian novelist Alexander Solzhenitsyn said this, "The line between good and evil passes not through states, nor between classes, nor between political parties either, but right through every human heart and through all human hearts." So what relevance has Jesus to all this? Well, first of all, take a look at his life, his words and his actions, his compassion and his courage, his love of the outcast and the stranger. He is truly a man who lived out his life to break down walls. He is an inspirational example to all of us. But I don't know about you, but I need more than that. I need more than an example. I need something radical to happen in my heart. The writer of the carol that we sang earlier, I think, sums it up well. This carol, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." He says, "The world has suffered long, that beneath the angel strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And yes, I believe this is because at times man is at war with man. Because man woman, child, has not heard the love song which they, the angels, brought them and bring to you and me this Christmas time. In 1985, I was 15, and my dad had quadruple, that means four, heart bypass surgery. He'd been on tablets. They'd got him to take his diet seriously. He'd been on exercise routines. But in the end, none of those things worked. He needed a more radical solution. They had to fix what had become diseased in his heart. It worked. He'd been given 10 years after that operation. Well, he's still alive and kicking today. The kind of heart surgery that God offers us is equally radical. In his letter to the early Christians in Rome, St. Paul writes, God has poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit his love. That love, to me, is as powerful as millions of people across the world will testify. It has spurred on peacemakers and peacekeepers in every generation. But for that love to infuse our hearts fully, something else needs to happen first. The debris from our selfishness, the things of the past, the stuff we're guilty about that no one else knows about, that needs cleaning up. It needs being forgiven. And that is ultimately what Jesus came to do, to save us from the outcome of our sin, a selfish heart that leads to division and wars. He came to give us a new heart. He came to help us to know that we are precious and loved in his sight. And the more we know that, the more the walls will come down, because we won't fear other people who are different from us, who think things differently, who might take a different vote on Brexit. We won't fear them. We will reach out to them in love. Now, Jesus had another name too, and its meaning is just as significant. He was also called Emmanuel. It's his other name, and it means God with us. And it means to me that God has not given up on us 2,000 years after Jesus walked this earth. He's with you and me here and right now. And I hope you will hear his words of love being sung and spoken to you, just you, this Christmas time. Well, I better move the wall, because I think the choir will need to be able to see the choir master. And I think we've had enough of the Picts and the Romans. Liz mentioned earlier about Alpha and the difference it made to her. It's an opportunity to find more out about this person, Jesus, what he came to do, what he said. I do commend it to you. And I commend to you as well some books that we'd love to give you just to take away for free tonight. It's called An Even Better Christmas. There are lots of them at the back. You're really welcome to help yourself for a read. May you all have a very, very happy and peace-filled Christmas. Amen.